Trinadapi Sunichena Tarariva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Hare Nama Hare Nama Hare Nama Ivakevala Kalo Nastyeva 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 Gatir Anyata Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kriva Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanang Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Here is Prabhupada's first letter. Regarding your inquiry about the individual soul present, I think you will remember that I have several times explained that throughout the whole cosmic manifestation, not only in the cosmic creation, in the spiritual world also, the individual is full everywhere. They are numberless. In the material world, the number of souls is very small. In the spiritual world, the number of individual souls are far, far greater than what they are here. The conditioned souls are just like prisoners. As we have got less population in the prison house, similarly, in the material world, the number of individual souls is very small. So, you may understand from me that the individual souls are everywhere, means anywhere you go within this material world, there are individual living entities. All planets in the outer space, in the water, on the land, everywhere. About your question, the spirit soul is certainly eternal and changeless, and the fall is superficial, just like the relationship between the Father and the Son cannot be broken ever. Now we are simply in a phase of forgetfulness, and this forgetfulness is called Maya. There is a nice example in the waning of the moon. To us, the moon appears to be changing, but in fact, the moon is always the same. So, as eternal servitors of Krishna, our constitutional position, we fall down when we try to become the enjoyer, imitating Krishna. That is our downfall. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and we are constitutionally to be enjoyed by Him. And when we revive this constitutional position, there is no more Maya. Krishna consciousness gives us the opportunity of rendering service to Krishna, and this service attitude only can replace us in our original position. Please, therefore, continue to chant faithfully, and Krishna will reveal Himself by His causeless mercy, and you will know everything automatically. I shall, of course, always be ready and anxious to answer any question you have. I am in due receipt of your letter and may inform you that the horrible scene in the hospital is certainly ghastly. But we should know at the same time that this ghastly scene is in the matter of the bodily concept of life. This is Maya's illusion, And although the spirit soul has nothing to do with these horrible affairs, due to absorption of one's consciousness in the body, one has to suffer the consequences of bodily identification. So far we are concerned, we shall neither be sympathetic nor apathetic in the matter of such bodily concept of life. Of course, it is quite natural to become sympathetic when one's body is put into such a horrible condition. But if you are firmly convinced that this body is separate from the soul, then we may not be distracted. That is not possible, of course, in the preliminary stage. But when we shall be in a transcendental position, not to be disturbed even by such a horrible scene, then our position is secure. The suffering of the man and the sympathy of the other man both are centered on the body. But this we have to understand by knowledge. Then such horrible condition of body won't be disturbing to us. That is the position of liberation. It doesn't mean we shall not be sympathetic to one who is suffering. But we should always remember that such sufferings are due to the bodily concept of life. As you stated, that you simply want to leave the material world and be with Krishna, that is the best solution. Rather than taking account of how things happened that you came here, like that, our best occupation to get out of the scene by constantly chanting Hare Krishna and being engaged in the transcendental service of Lord Krishna. Now, regarding your question about Brahma, he may be chosen either from the liberated or the conditioned souls. In this case, Brahma is a liberated soul from the beginning. Therefore, there is no contradiction that Brahma can be Haridas Thakur. Those who are conditioned souls are eternally soul, which means that it is never possible to trace out how long ago the conditioned existence began. We simply say that misuse of that little independence we have creates so much trouble for us. But now, by adopting Krishna consciousness, we may finish this conditioned life immediately. That is Krishna consciousness. Your reasoning is all right, that the Brahma energy must have conscious direction to manifest form. Therefore, he who gives that direction is the ultimate controller, or Param Ishvara. In Brahma Sanhita it is said, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Sachid Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers, and therefore he is the origin of everything, including the Brahma energy. This Govinda is the cause of all causes, and he is without any cause. This is the beauty of the Shastras, that one shloka finishes billions of years hard labor of mental speculation. Just try give evidence like this. Yes, those 12 symptoms of the spiritual soul are correct, except for all knowing. All knowing it cannot be, but full knowledge. Yes, your question about will and the individual and the difference between them, thinking, feeling and willing, is the subtle covering of the individual soul. In material contact, they are manifested in a perverted way. When the individual soul voluntarily surrenders to Krishna and acts in a routine method, thinking, feeling, and willing become purified. And at that time, there is no difference between the individual soul and will. Your next question. Is a pure devotee eternally liberated? And if so, is he at any time a conditioned soul? We are eternally conditioned, but as soon as we surrender to Krishna, do we then become eternally liberated? When Lord Christ appeared, he seemed to be conditioned in his growth. Was he a specific incarnation or a conditioned soul who became liberated? You are not eternally conditioned. You are eternally liberated. But since we have become conditioned on account of our desire to enjoy the materialistic way of life from time immemorial, therefore it appears that we are eternally conditioned. Because we cannot trace out the history or the date when we became conditioned, therefore it is technically called eternally conditioned. A living entity is always pure, but he is prone to be attracted by material enjoyment, and as soon as he agrees to place himself in material enjoyment, he becomes conditioned. But that is not permanent. Therefore, a living entity is called on the marginal state, sometimes this side, sometimes that side. These are very intelligent questions, and I am very glad that you are putting such intelligent questions and trying to understand it. It is very good. But the best thing is that one should know he is in conditioned life and try to cure it. When a man is in a disease condition, he should try to get out of the disease condition without harassing his brain when the disease has begun. But it is to be understood that the disease is not our constant companion. It is temporary. So the best thing is to cure the disease and not waste our time to find out the date when it began. Forgetfulness of Krishna is the disease. So let us develop ourselves always in Krishna consciousness and get out of the disease. That is healthy life. Yes, Lord Jesus was Jiva Tattva. He is not Vishnu Tattva. When a Jiva Tattva becomes specifically empowered by the Lord, he is called Shakya Vesh Avatar. Lord Buddha and Lord Jesus Christ were in this group of Shakya Vesh Avatars, but they were not in conditioned state when they appeared. They came to teach here. You should all read very carefully Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and you should be able to answer all questions like this, and only in rare cases approach me. But it is important that our students must be able to answer all questions for becoming preachers. Your questions are very nice. Yes, the super soul and the soul are both unchanged. The difference is that in material contact, the soul appears to be changed. But the super soul is not affected by material contamination. Therefore, there is no sign of change. The change of soul is like that water becomes ice in contact with the refrigerator. And as soon as there is temperature, the ice again becomes water. Similarly, the changing nature of the soul is just like the change of water to ice. The tendency of ice is to melt and become water again. So due to contamination of matter, the soul, by illusion, identifies with material existence. But the tendency is to melt again to Krishna consciousness. So when there is sufficient temperature in contact with bona fide spiritual master, his life is successful. And to be fortunate, there must be sincerity, and Krishna will lead him to a bona fide spiritual master. Purusha means God or Krishna. Atma, there is Paramatma and Jivatma. Both are Atma because they are spiritual, but the living entities are called Jivatma. Jivatma means the small particle of Atma, which has the tendency to fall down in the material atmosphere. He is called Jivatma. An Atma, or Supersoul, who never falls in material contamination, is called Paramatma, or Supersoul. And because he does not fall under material illusion, his name is Achyuta. Achyuta means never fallen. The answer to your question about the marginal energy is that the jiva soul is always called marginal energy, whether he is in the spiritual world or the material world. There are instances where marginal energy jiva souls have fallen from the spiritual world, just like Jai and Vijay. So the potency to fall under the influence of the lower energy is always there, and thus the individual soul is called as Krishna's marginal energy. To answer your second question, you should know that Arjuna and Kunti Devi are not in Krishna Loka. They are eternally associated with Krishna only in the material world. Just like Krishna is always in the spiritual world, so similarly, he is always in the material world, and his pastimes are going on there also. In the material world, Krishna also has eternal associates, such as Arjuna and Kunti Devi. There is a difference between the body and soul of Arjuna and Kunti Devi. But although Arjuna is with Krishna in innumerable different material universes at one time, still there is only one spirit soul who is Arjuna. This spirit soul expands into many different bodies, and thus you can understand that there are also incarnations of devotees as well as incarnations of Krishna. This is the power of the spirit soul that is unlimited. Such conception cannot be understood while one is still in the conditioned state. Your second question about falling down from the Brahma Jyoti is answered, that it is not that one must fall down, but that they generally fall down. There is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam which says, "My dear lotus-eyed personality of Godhead, persons who are very proud of becoming one with the Brahman effulgence, and thereby consider that they have become liberated, are factually in a contaminated consciousness on account of the absence of devotional service unto you. Such persons may rise to a high level of spiritual understanding as far as the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. But on account of the lack of devotional service unto you, they generally fall down again into material contamination. Regarding your question, the spark soul certainly has form, which means hand, feet, etc. This we learn from Bhagavad Gita. The body is described there as vasansi, which means dress. So unless one has got originally hands and legs, how the dress coat and pants and shirt take such a form? Therefore, the spirit soul has original form. When he is in the material energy, the dress is evolved materially. And when he is in the spiritual energy, the dress is evolved spiritually. This is also not very difficult to understand. As our students, before coming to my contact, he was supposed to be material addressed, attached to sense gratification. And after devoting himself in Krishna consciousness, he is gradually developing a spiritual dress. That means attached to satisfying the sense of the Supreme. Regarding your question about our relationship with Srimati Radharani, she is the internal energy and we are the marginal energy. Marginal means sometimes internal, sometimes external. When we are under the internal energy, that is our normal life. And when we come under the external energy, that is our abnormal life. Therefore, we are called marginal energy. We can be either this way or that way. But being qualitatively one with the Purusha, our tendency is to remain in the internal energy. Being in the external energy is our artificial attempt. Regarding the first question in your letter about how do we know of the spiritual abodes, since once going there, no one returns, you should know that the great liberated souls and incarnations who appear from time to time in this material world are not actually coming back because they are never subject to material contamination or the laws of material nature. For the purpose of delivering the fallen living entities, they come here temporarily and then go back when their business is finished. And this is all under the direct order of the Lord. So the appearance of the Lord or the great liberated souls in the material world is different from the appearance of the contaminated living entity who is forced to take birth in the material world due to his desire to lord it over the world. Regarding your question, what is the difference between spirit souls comprising of the Brahma Jyoti and the spirit souls here in Maya? In the Brahma Jyoti, the spirit souls, on account of their impersonal views, are devoid of a body. Exactly like here in Maya, there are ghosts who are devoid of any gross bodies. The ghost, being devoid of a body, he suffers terribly because he is unable to satisfy his senses. The spirit souls in the Brahma Jyoti, although they have no desire for sense gratification, still feel the inconvenience like a ghost, and they fall down again into Maya's atmosphere and develop a material body. In the Bhagavad, therefore, it is said that persons who are impersonalists, who do not develop the dormant devotional attitude, Their intelligence is not pure, because for want of a spiritual body, they come down again into the material world. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said by the Lord that the only way of not coming back to this material world is to be promoted to the spiritual planets. For the impersonalist, there is no such assurance of not falling down in the whole Vedic literature. The conclusion is that without developing the spiritual body and without being situated on one of the spiritual planets, the so-called liberation is also illusion, or it is not complete. A spirit soul who falls down from the Brahma Jyoti to the kingdom of Maya may have a chance of associating with a pure devotee, and then he may be elevated to the spiritual planets of Vaikuntha or to Goloka Vrindavan. From the Brahma Jyoti, there is no direct promotion to the spiritual planets. And it is clearly stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that such souls fall down. Patanti Hadaha. In further reference to your questions about the form of the spirit soul of the conditioned living entity, there is spiritual form always, but it develops fully only when the living entity goes back to Vaikuntha. This form develops according to the desire of the living entity. Until this perfectional stage is reached, the form is lying dormant, like the form of a tree is lying dormant in the seed. Regarding your question, in one sense, both you and your godbrother are right. The fact is that after the dissolution of the universe, the living entities remain in slumber within Mahavishnu. And again, when the creation takes place, they are impregnated in their original position, and they come out in different species of life. By gradual evolutionary process, when they come to the human form, there is good chance of getting out of the repeated birth and death, and one can enter into the spiritual realm. But if one loses this chance, he is again put into the cycle of birth and death. The conditioned souls are always within the Mahavishnu form, whereas the liberated souls in Vaikuntha, they are engaged in the service of the Lord. Constitutionally, every living entity, even if he or she is in the Vaikuntha Loka, has a chance of falling down. Therefore, the living entity is called marginal energy. But when the fall down has taken place, for the conditioned soul is very difficult to ascertain. Therefore, the two classes are designated, eternally liberated and eternally conditioned. But for argument's sake, a living entity being marginal energy cannot be eternally conditioned. The time is so unlimited that the conditioned souls appear to be eternally so. But from the philosophical point of view, he cannot be eternally conditioned. Since we cannot trace out when we have become conditioned, there is no use of arguing on this point. Better to take care first how we can get rid of this conditioned existence, as much as a patient should take care for treating his disease more and less waste his time in finding out the cause of his disease. Regarding your question about Krishna's associates, the principle is that all living entities are expansions of the original living entity, Krishna. But there are different grades of living entities, Vishnu Tattva and Jiva Tattva. Vishnu Tattva is almost equal to the level of the personality of Godhead, and Jiva Tattva is minute particles. So, when Lord Chaitanya appeared, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu were Vishnu Tattva, whereas Gadadhar Prabhu and Srivas Prabhu were Shakti Tattva. Jiva Tattva is also within the Shakti Tattva. These things are explained in teachings of Lord Chaitanya and other of our books. So those were all the letters that Srila Prabhupada answered questions from his disciples in 1969. So now we will go to the letters that he answered in 1970. Because Krishna knows everyone's future does not remove our free will. Someone may commit a theft, and if I know that when I know that he will be captured and punished, that is knowing his future. But to know that future does not mean that he had no choice not to commit the criminal act. There are two destinies for everyone. One destiny is Krishna consciousness, and the other destiny is in material consciousness. So if someone is in Krishna consciousness, then Krishna knows his future. And if he is in material consciousness and acting in that way, Krishna also knows his future. In this way, the free will is not affected by knowing the future of the living being. That is an erroneous conclusion. Regarding your first question, a pure devotee is never under the modes of nature. In other words, no material laws apply on a devotee because he is fully under the direction of Krishna. So a devotee can continue his present occupation, or he may change it if he likes. Krishna does not force a devotee because the devotee acts spontaneously according to the desire of the Lord. In this kind of loving service, there is no question of force. Force is applied only when there is denial of Krishna. Just as the citizens of a state have freedom to follow the laws of the state, that is subordinate freedom. And the freedom of the living entities is also subordinate to Krishna. The clue is given there in the Bhagavad Gita that the living entities are fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. This means that all the qualities of Krishna are therefore present in minute quantity in each of his parts and parcels. That is simultaneously one and different philosophy. The living entities thus have free will because they are parts and parcels of Krishna. And Krishna has free will, but the free will of Krishna is supreme, while the freedom of the parts and parcels is minute. So if the living entity, out of love, subordinates his free will to Krishna, that is one's liberation. One is no longer forced to act helplessly. But when he acts freely, rendering devotional service to Krishna in every way, then we have the practical conclusion from Krishna, confirmed by him in Bhagavad Gita. Just surrendered unto me, and in return I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. In this way, astral influences are also material, and therefore they do not affect the devotee who has taken protection of Krishna's internal energy by surrendering his life and soul in the service of the Lord. Regarding your questions concerning the spirit souls falling into Maya's influence, it is not that those who have developed a passive relationship with Krishna are more likely to fall into nascent activities. Usually, anyone who has developed his relationship with Krishna does not fall down to any circumstance. But because the independence is always there, the soul may fall down from any position or any relationship by misuse of his or her independence. But one's relationship with Krishna is never lost. Simply, it is forgotten by the influence of Maya. So it may be regained or revived by the process of hearing the holy name of Krishna, and then the devotee engages himself in the service of the Lord, which is his or her original or constitutional position. The relationship of the living entity with Krishna is eternal, as both Krishna and the living entity are eternal. The process is one of revival only, nothing new. Regarding the presence of the soul, it is experienced by everyone as the living force or consciousness which gives the body life. So long the living force remains within the body, the life symptoms are exhibited. When, at the last stage of a man's life, the doctor is feeling the pulse and then the beating stops, he says, "He is gone now." Who is gone? The complete bodily machinery remains, but the living soul has it and the machinery stops working. It is the soul that has left. The soul was there and its presence is known by the life symptoms. And when the soul departs, its absence is perceived by the stopping of the exhibition of life symptoms by the body. Just as a machine is working so long, the current is introduced into it. And as soon as the electricity is removed, the machine stops functioning. We know that there is electricity in the machine and that it is making the machine run. And we also perceive that the electric force is absent when the machine has stopped running. In this way, the presence of the soul may be perceived directly by any thoughtful man. Regarding your questions about how and from where did the conditioned souls fall, your first question, if someone has a relationship with Lord Krishna on Krishna Loka, does he ever fall down? The souls are endowed with minute independence as part of their nature, and this minute independence may be utilized rightly or wrongly at any time. So there is always the chance of falling down by misuse of one's independence. But those who are firmly fixed up in devotional service to Krishna are making proper use of their independence, and so they do not fall down. Regarding your second question, have the conditioned souls ever seen Krishna? Were they with the Lord before being conditioned by the desire to lord it over material nature? Yes, the conditioned souls are parts and parcels of the Lord, and thus they were with Krishna before being conditioned. Just as the child must have seen his father, because the father places the child in the womb of the mother, similarly each soul has seen Krishna or the Supreme Father. But at the same time, the conditioned souls are resting in the condition called susupti, which is exactly deep sleep without dreaming or an anesthetized state. Therefore, they do not remember being with Krishna when they wake up in the material world and become engaged in material affairs. I hope this will satisfy your questions. Your first question about the jiva's form, with particular reference to the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 18, purport, quote, "During the nighttime they have no form," end quote. During the nighttime they have no form means there's no material form. The simple understanding is, as we are transmigrating from one material form to another, so actually in this material world, we have no fixed form. Similarly, when we are spiritually perfect, we develop the spiritual form to live eternally in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there are exactly the same things as we have here, namely the land, water, trees, birds, beasts, human beings, etc. And all of them are spiritual, as all the varieties here are material. So these things can be understood when one is advanced in self-realization. The real form of the living entity is eternal servant of Krishna. Now this spiritual form is developed when he enters into the spiritual world. The non-fallen condition is Krishna consciousness. So long one can maintain pure Krishna consciousness, he or she is not fallen down. As soon as one becomes out of Krishna consciousness, immediately he or she is fallen down. It does not matter where a living entity stays. In the material world also, there are different stages of living conditions. And to remain in the Brahman effulgence is also another phase of that fallen condition. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the conditioned souls, by their pious activities, are elevated to the higher planetary system. But as soon as the stock of pious activities is finished, he again comes down on the earthly planet. Similarly, those who are elevated beyond the planetary system to the Brahman effulgence, they are also prone to fall down as much as a living entity from the higher planetary system. As such, those who are thinking they are liberated by being situated in the Brahman effulgence are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam as impurely intelligent. In other words, they are actually not liberated, and because they are not actually liberated, they again come down to the material world as much as a living entity elevated to the higher planetary system, comes down to this earthly planet. So we do not accept anyone elevated to the Brahman effulgence as actually liberated. The next question, about the living entities falling down in this material world, are not from impersonal Brahman. Existence in the impersonal Brahman is also within the category of non-Krishna consciousness. Those who are in the Brahman effulgence, they are also in the fallen condition. So there is no question of falling down from a fallen condition. When fall takes place, it means falling down from the non-fallen condition. Regarding your several questions, where are the spirit souls coming from that are taking microbe bodies? It is not a matter of any particular body. These spirit souls are all spirit souls coming from Vaikuntha. But in these material worlds, they are taking various grades of bodies according to their material activities. There is no quote-unquote new soul. New and old are due to this material body, but the soul is never born and never dies. So if there is no birth, how can there be quote-unquote new soul? Regarding your questions with reference to Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse 5 and the Vedic hymn quoted in the purport to Bhagavad Gita chapter 5 verse 14-15 and the statement, quote, when the living entity is bewildered in his or her desires, the Lord allows one to fulfill those desires, end of quote. You have quoted, quote, the Lord engages the living entity in pious activities so that he or she may be elevated. The Lord engaged one in impious activities so that he or she may go to hell. So, that is also originally the individual soul's desire. And as the Supersoul, the Supreme Lord, Supersoul, is giving everyone the opportunity to go to heaven or hell or to Vaikuntha if he or she so desires. For those who are hankering after material opportunities, the Lord as Supersoul is giving them the opportunities to enjoy the material nature. And the facility is being supplied by the material nature. Similarly, a living entity who is desiring for spiritual upliftment, the Lord is giving him the opportunity of the Vedic literatures and the spiritual master. But his advice to all living entities is to give up all nonsense and everything else and just surrender unto him. The living entity, by accepting one kind of opportunity, is going to hell, and by accepting the other kinds of opportunities, one is going back home, back to Godhead. So both opportunities are being offered by the Lord. Therefore, indirectly you can say that one being sent to hell and one is being sent to the spiritual world by the Lord. But the Lord is simply supplying the opportunities to everyone as the living entity desires. The intelligent person, therefore, does not desire anything. He or she simply surrenders unto the Lord, or he or she desires to serve the Lord, and that is one's greatest opportunity. Man proposes, God disposes. That is the sum and substance. But as a pure devotee of the Lord, you should not propose. Simply accept the Lord's proposal and surrender unto Him. So far the conditioned soul is concerned, the same opportunities are there. But if one does not take advantage of the opportunity to elevate him or herself to Krishna consciousness and chooses to misuse his or her independence for taking the opportunity to enjoy some material happiness, then one will remain conditioned, as the Lord will allow him or her to fulfill those desires. The opportunity is always there. Just as we are offering so many ways to become Krishna conscious. But if you don't take the opportunity, what can I do? That is purposeful negligence of duty. The example may be given of a man who is sleeping. If he is actually sleeping, he may be awakened by various means. But there is no doubt that he must wake up. However, if a man is pretending to be asleep, there is no way at all to rouse him up. Regarding your question, what does it mean we are all originally Krishna conscious entities? We are always with Krishna. Where is Krishna not present? So how can you say that we were before? You are always with Krishna, and when we forget this fact, we are far, far away from Him. In the Ishopanishad, it is clearly stated, Tad dire, tad vantike. He is very far away, but He is very near as well. Mantra 5. So, this forgetfulness is our fall down. It can take place at any moment, and we can counteract this forgetfulness immediately by rising to the platform of Krishna consciousness. We are all originally situated on the platform of Krishna consciousness in our eternal personal relationship of love of Krishna. But due to forgetfulness, we become familiar with the material world or Maya. As soon as one chants the Hare Krishna mantra with sincerity and without offense, and you know there are 10 kinds of offense to the holy name, which we are to avoid very, very carefully, one's original Krishna consciousness is immediately revived. Krishna consciousness means to be always remembering Krishna in some way or other, just like we are immediately thinking of Krishna when we chant His name, Krishna. And we are always thinking how we can do something nice to please Krishna with some service or other. Or we are reading literature about Krishna or speaking about Krishna. In this way, we are always remembering Krishna, and that is our natural conscious state. So naturally, everything about Krishna is originally known to all of us. And as soon as we begin to associate with the devotees of the Lord and chant His holy name, this memory gradually becomes stronger as we remember our constitutional position of always serving Krishna in different ways. The first step, as you have noted, is that the dirty things which are clouding our spiritual senses must be cleansed by the Sankirtan process. So Krishna consciousness is a purifying process. If you do not follow the regulations of our society very strictly, you will quickly become completely purified and thus achieve the highest perfection of life, Krishna consciousness. So that ends all the questions that Prabhupada answered in 1970. And I will do now quickly 1971. As for your questions, do the fallen souls leave the spiritual world all at once or gradually? We can answer, do all prisoners in the state, are they free at once? No, some are coming, some are going. And now we will go to 1972. Your next question about free will, whether we have it or not. If one is not intelligent enough for making decisions, then all decisions shall be sanctioned by the spiritual master. Neophyte means no independent decision, no free will. That means surrender. Just like a small child can only eat such things which are sanctioned by the parents, not by one's own discretion. Free will is that when the controller says, do this, you can, your free will, to do it or not to do it. You have got the power to not do. We never had any occasion when we are separated from Krishna. Just like one man is dreaming and he forgets himself. In dream, he creates himself in different forms. Now I am the king discussing with my staff. Now I am pounced upon by a ferocious tiger like that. This creation of himself is as seer and subject matter or scene are two things. But as soon as the dream is over, the scene disappears, but the seer remains. Now he is in his original position. Our separation from Krishna is like that. We dream this body and so many relationships with other things. First, the attachment comes to enjoy sense gratification. Even with Krishna, desire for sense gratification is there. There is dormant attitude for forgetting Krishna and creating an atmosphere for enjoying independently. Just like at the edge of the beach, sometimes the water covers, sometimes there is dry sand coming and going. Our position is like that. Sometimes covered, sometimes free, just like at the edge of the tide. As soon as we forget, immediately the illusion is there. Just like as soon as we sleep, dream is there. We cannot say that we were not with Krishna. As soon as we try to become the Lord, immediately we are covered by Maya. Formerly, we were with Krishna in his lila or sport. But this covering of Maya may be of very, 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 very long duration. Therefore, many creations are coming and going. Due to this long period of time, it is sometimes said that we are ever conditioned. But one's long duration of time becomes very insignificant when one actually comes to Krishna consciousness. Just like in a dream, we are thinking very long time, but as soon as we are awakened, we look at our watch and see it has been a moment only. Just like with Krishna's friends, they were kept asleep for 1 year by Brahma. But when they woke up and Krishna returned before them, they considered that only a moment had passed. Saul, this dreaming condition is called non-liberated life, and this is just like a dream. Although in this material calculation, it is a long, long period, as soon as we come to Krishna consciousness, then this period is considered as a second. For example, Jai and Vijay, they had their Leela with Krishna, but they had to come down for their little mistake. They were given mukti, emerging into the Brahma Sayuja, and after being killed 3 times as demons. This Brahma Sayuja is non-permanent. Every living entity wants pleasure, but Brahma Sayuja is minus pleasure. There is eternal existence only. So when they do not find transcendental bliss, they fall down to make a compromise with material bliss. Just like Vivekananda founded so many schools and hospitals. So, even Lord Brahma, he is still material and wants to lord it over. He may come down to become a germ, and then he may rise up to Krishna consciousness and go back home, back to Godhead. That is the position. So when I say, yes, there is eternal Leela with Krishna, that means on the evidence of Jai and Vijay. Unless one develops full devotional service to Krishna, he goes up only to Brahma Sayuja, but falls down. But after millions and millions of years of keeping oneself away from the Leela of the Lord, when one comes to Krishna consciousness, this period becomes insignificant, just like dreaming. Because he falls down from Brahma Sayuja, he thinks that may be his origin. But he does not remember that before, that he even was with Krishna. So the conclusion is that whatever may be our past, let us come to Krishna consciousness and immediately join Krishna, just like a diseased man. Is a waste of time to try to find out how one has become diseased. Better to spend time curing the disease. On the top of a tree, there is a nice tall fruit. A crow went there, and the fruit fell down. Some pundits, big learned scholars, saw this and discussed. The fruit fell down to the crow agitating the limb. No, the fruit fell simultaneously with the crow landing and frightened crow, so he flew away. No, the fruit was ripe and the weight of the crow landing broke it from the branch, and so on and so on. What is the use of such discussion? So whatever you were in the Brahma Sayuja, or with Krishna in his Leela, at the present, you are neither. So the best policy is to develop your Krishna consciousness and go there. Never mind what is your origin. Brahma Sayuja and Krishna Leela, both may be possible. But when you are coming down from Brahma Sayuja, or when you are coming down from Krishna Leela, that remains a mystery. But at the present moment, you are in Maya's clutches. So at present, our only hope is to become Krishna conscious and go back home, back to Godhead. The real position is servant of Krishna. And servant of Krishna means in Krishna Leela. Directly or indirectly, always, we are serving Krishna Leela, even in dream. Just like we cannot go out of the sun when it is daytime. So where is the chance of going out of Krishna Leela? The cloud may be there. It may become very gray and dim, but still the sunlight is there. Everywhere during the daytime. Because I am part and parcel of Krishna, I am always connected. My finger, even though it may be diseased, remains part and parcel of my body. Therefore, we try to treat it, cure it, because it is part and parcel. So Krishna comes himself when we forget him, or he sends his representative. Awakening or dreaming, I am the same man. As soon as I awaken and see myself, I see Krishna. Cause and effect are both Krishna. Just like cotton becomes thread, and thread becomes cloth. Still, the original cause is cotton. Therefore, everything is Krishna in the ultimate sense. When we cannot contact Krishna personally, we contact his energies. So there is no chance to be outside of Krishna's Leela. But differences we see under different conditions. Just like in the pool of water and in the mirror, the same me is reflecting, but in different reflections. One is shimmering, unsteady, the other is clear and fixed. Except for being in Krishna consciousness, we cannot see our actual position rightly. Therefore, the learned man sees all living entities as the same parts and parcels of Krishna. Material existence is impersonal because my real personality is covered. But we should think that because I am now covered in this clay, I am diseased, and we should think that I must get to the business to get myself uncovered. No wonder how I got this way. Now the fruit is there. Take it and enjoy. That is your first business. God is not bound by cause. He can change. He is the cause of all causes. Now, don't waste your time with this kakat taliya nyai, crows and tall fruit logic. So I will finish my class today. That was the last letter in 1972. But I have reached the limit of my ability to go any further. If I had more stamina, I could go longer. But what I'd like to do as the final portion of this class is to read a verse and purport that is from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, answers by citing the Lord's version. And we're going to discuss and read the verse and purport, verse number one. So before going to Srimad Bhagavatam, I will chant the Jai Radha Madhav prayer.
Jaya Radha Madhava. Jaya Raja Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Bharat Hari Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Bharat Hari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So for the final portion of tonight's class, I'd like to read the verse and purport to the first verse of the ninth chapter of Canto 2, answers by citing the Lord's version. Sri Shuka Uvacha Atma Mayam Rate Rajan Parasyanu Bhavatmanaha Na Gate Tarta Sambandha Swapna Drastur Ivanjasa. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, O King, unless one is influenced by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no meaning to the relationship of the pure soul in pure consciousness with the material body. That relationship is just like a dreamer seeing his or her own body working. So I picked this verse because it fits in nicely with the final letter that I read from Prabhupada, which has been referred to now as the Crow and Tal Flute Logic Letter. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Maharaj Parikshit's question as to how a living entity began his or her material life, although one is apart from the material body and mind, is perfectly answered. The spirit soul is distinct from the material conception of life, but one is absorbed in such a material conception because of being influenced by the external energy of the Lord called Atma Maya. This has already been explained in the first canto in connection with Vyasadeva's realization of the Supreme Lord and His external energy. The external energy is controlled by the Lord, and the living entities are controlled by the external energy by the will of the Lord. Therefore, although the living entity is purely conscious in his or her pure state, one is subordinate to the will of the Lord in being influenced by the external energy of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, verse 15, also the same thing is confirmed. The Lord is present within the heart of every living creature, and all the living entities' consciousness and forgetfulness are influenced by the Lord. Now, the next question automatically made will be why the Lord influences the living entity to such consciousness and forgetfulness. The answer is that the Lord clearly wishes that every living entity be in one's pure consciousness as part and parcel of the Lord, and thus be engaged in the loving service of the Lord as he or she is constitutionally made. But because the living entity is partially independent also, one may not be willing to serve the Lord, but may try to become as independent as the Lord is. All the non-devotee living entities are desirous of becoming equally as powerful as the Lord, although they are not fit to become so. The living entities are illusion by the will of the Lord because they wanted to become like Him. Like a person who thinks of becoming a king without possessing the necessary qualification. When the living entity desires to become the Lord Himself, he or she is put in a condition of dreaming that he or she is a king. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord. And the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget his or her factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia, where one may become one like the Lord. The child cries to have the moon from the mother, and the mother gives the child a mirror to satisfy the crying and disturbing child with the reflection of the moon. Similarly, the crying child of the Lord is given over to the reflection, the material world, to lord it over as karmi, and to give this up in frustration to become one with the Lord. Both these stages are dreaming illusions only. There is no necessity of tracing out the history of when the living entity desired this. But the fact is that as soon as he desired it, one was put under the control of Atma Maya by the direction of the Lord. Therefore, the living entity, in his or her material condition, is dreaming falsely that this is mine and this is I. The dream is that the conditioned soul thinks of one's material body as I, or falsely thinks that he or she is the Lord, and that everything can, in connection with that material body is mine. Thus, only in dream does the misconception of I and mine persist, life after life. This continues life after life, as long as the living entity is not purely conscious of his or her identity as the subordinate part and parcel of the Lord. In one's pure consciousness, however, there is no such misconceived dream. And in that pure conscious state, the living entity does not forget that he or she is never the Lord, but that one is eternally the servitor of the Lord in transcendental love. So I'd like to once again repeat what is to me the most significant line in this purport. Therefore, the first sinful will of the living entity is to become the Lord, and the consequent will of the Lord is that the living entity forget one's factual life and thus dream of the land of utopia, where he or she may become one like the Lord.